the Travis Jones Show, and I'm here with my wife, Olivia Jones. And today we get to talk about all things about working together in a relationship. And we get asked this so much, guys. We get asked this from people from, obviously, in relationships, but 80% of small businesses are family-owned businesses. So it's either you and your partner, you're in your marriage, you're a relationship, whatever it is, you have to manage each other's emotions in the business and also outside of the business and not try and carry that over as much as you possibly can so you don't kill each other. And you maintain a healthy sex life, because that's not, maintain a healthy relationship. It's not all about sex, come on, just for guys.
But it is hard. It is hard.
It is hard. So today, guys, we're going to talk about, you know, how we support each other, because I think that's a big thing.
How we travel together.
How we travel together, yeah. We can also talk about basically the roles we play in the business as well. And
I think respecting each other's different approach,
it's respecting each other. It's like no one else is right or wrong, but we understand where, you know, the line is as well. So I think that's the biggest stuff we'll talk about today. We do have whiskey, which is fantastic. It is Friday afternoon here, so the internet is down at the office. Everyone we have sent home, so we are having a whiskey and doing a podcast with you. So guys, that is it. First off, how do you manage my emotions?
How do I manage your emotions? I think we've covered off one of my methods of managing your emotions, but I think...
You get naked.
I get naked. Or I just sort of inappropriately flash a bit of butt.
Yeah.
I think it's always, you know, taking a bit of a breath and not taking on the first response that you have to things. So I think for us, we have a very playful way most of the time for dealing with each other's, you know, I'm very close to perfect, but sometimes a rational emotional response to things. But I think it's also understanding why that person is having that response. So it's rarely about the one thing that's going on. It's about how that makes that person feel, or out of control, or perhaps feeling as though that they've been in some way maligned, or what's the fifth word, like, fifth grade word for that? Like,
I have no idea what that word means. Liv sometimes uses words I have no understanding. I was like, maligned? Is that a type of melon?
you know, if someone's done the wrong thing by you. So I think for us, it's a very, very important for us to always try and understand what's causing that emotion. So it's rarely about the situation for us that's the immediate response. So, you know, if Travis gets cranky because, you know, I can't find the keys in my handbag, it's not about the keys in my handbag. That's like my number one hint. It's about something else around the day. So I think for most of the time, my first response is always empathy, and always trying to understand that this isn't actually about me. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to just reset and choose the right emotion.
I think a big thing is in a relationship, right, we can get frustrated at each other, but I think you need to step back and have perspective. I think that's one of the most crucial things. Like, you know, there's a couple of things in here, right? So Viktor Frankl, stimulus and response. I think if we can always take a breath before we get frustrated or choose an incorrect emotion, because
say something stupid, right?
Like, you know, Liv is like, oh, you know, you made me feel. And it's like, no, I didn't make you feel anything. You chose to feel like that because of the circumstance. I can't make you feel something. You know, like, you're choosing an emotion. But that doesn't get a great response. But like for me, like, and for Liv, it's utilizing the power of breath in a moment. So say something is frustrating you, you can go, well, what do I really want out of this circumstance? You know, if I can, I can either snap back, okay, and we can then start to cascade this, you know, cauldron snowball of emotions, you know, snowball down the hill. Or it's like, what do I want out of this? Well, for me, like what I want is I want to, you know, do business with my wife. I want to be successful. And I was like, okay, cool. What is the best reaction in this standpoint to not go down this cascade of negative emotions? It's like, just don't respond. Or just listen. It's also take the perspective. And I think that's the other thing. So one, expand the gap. Stimulus to your response to that stimulus. Choose a better quality emotion in the point. And two, have perspective. there is, Liv does things that frustrate me. Like, we are like in a relationship and I do things 100% that frustrate Liv, but we both don't do things in a,
we don't
hurt each other for sure. Yeah. Unless you want to be hurt. But it's like, we don't hurt, like we don't do things on purpose to create a negative effect. So whatever Liv's doing, she believes it's, she's doing it for the positive of the relationship, for the positive of the business. So if all of a sudden I gain some perspective, it's like, okay, cool. That decision was not based out of any type of malicious intent. It was based out of because Liv believed that was the best decision in the moment. So why would you ever get frustrated at someone if it was the best decision at the moment? If it was your staff member and you started talking down to them like you do to your partner sometimes, that staff member would leave you. But you feel like because you have a closer relationship, you, there's a line that you get to cross and you get to, like, you know, kick him up the butt and, you know, treat him like a dog. So, like, that's not how it is. So instead, if we can go change perspective and go, cool, that decision was made with the best of intentions, so I can't get negative of that, but what we can do is have a conversation and constructive, go, well, why did you choose that, like, that response?
Yeah.
And how can, together as a team, us get a better response next time? And what was the pros and cons from that response? And this isn't me judging Liv or trying to tell her her response was done, was incorrect. It was me trying to understand her perspective in the situation so I can understand it. Because Liv, just like me, we both, you know, men and women have different perspectives and we both go at different problems in different ways. So I want to learn from Liv and I have the humility to understand most times that she has a very different perspective to me to get a similar outcome so I can learn from her so much by just understanding her point of view.
Yeah, I think so. I think it sounds a little bit, when you say it like this, it sounds almost like we approach things quite clinically. Like, I don't want anyone listening this to think that this isn't constructed in a very similar way to what all of us would recognize as a normal partner argument or disagreement. But I think the way that Travis and I over time have very successfully, we do definitely try and separate the stimulus and the response. Both of us definitely try and do that. And I think when we're having these discussions, like, yes, the outcome is to understand the other person's perspective. I just don't want anyone listening to this to think, now, Travis, what were the pros and cons of that decision?
No, but
it's very organic conversation. It's very organic. The mentality of where we are when we're having those conversations is quite rational.
Yeah, like, you have to be rational because it's like, business is not emotional. You are two emotional beasts, okay, in a relationship. Yep. But in business, business is not emotional.
No, so and that's why at work, there's definitely quite... I do what I do, you do me.
And we are both doing our best for our businesses in any given circumstance. And then that doesn't mean sometimes there is tension, but when at the same time, we get to sit down each week or each morning. It's like, what are you doing? And it's like, okay, cool. If I ask why you're doing that, it's not because I think you're doing something incorrectly. It's because I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I want to understand. I want to learn. So I think you have to decrease... It's like, you have to decrease your sensitivity to why someone's asking you a question, because if they're not asking you a question, this happens a lot of times with females and males who are sensitive males, where it's like, why are you doing that? And you can take it the wrong way.
I don't think it's sensitive. I think it's a choice of words.
Yeah, well, it's like, maybe it's a choice of tonality. Right? So it's like, I sometimes don't pick the correct tone. I'm like, why are you doing that? And Liv can think I'm trying to do that because it's her first reaction sometimes is, I'm saying it because I think you feel like you're doing the wrong thing. When really it's like, why are you doing that? Because I'm intrigued why you think that that is what we should be doing. I think that's okay as well.
I think that the biggest problem for most people that we talk to is that separation of work, personal, you know, if you've got family, and an understanding of where you're going. And I think the biggest thing for us is we're always very clear on the outcomes that need to be achieved on any day, week, or month. For anyone who works with us, almost to the point of driving them crazy. But it's for us the best way for us to survive each day, week, and month, particularly when they're not the days, weeks, and months that are great. You know, everyone's great when things are great. It's how you communicate and how you get through the times that aren't great that are the skills and the habits and the routines that you need to maintain always, because they're the things that allow us, you know, in times where we're technically breaking our work and personal line as to what we're doing, if we're on our phone or our laptop or, you know, things like this, if we're crossing those lines, or you're training at a time of the day when you wouldn't normally train, or any of these sort of things, it's because we understand that this has to get done and it hasn't been done in the time that's been allotted for whatever reason, or, you know, there's different difficulties or you're facing challenges in your business and that means you need to push a little bit harder. As long as you're communicating, even if your partner doesn't work with you, communication is the foundation of everything in your relationship. And if you're not communicating to them why you're doing it, or you can't explain to them why you're doing it or what outcome it's achieving, that means you don't even know.
Yeah, I think I am probably, men in general are probably poorer communicators. Females are very...
over-communicate?
Yes, females over-communicate, men under-communicate. I think, you know, men in general suck at communication. It's like, we just do things and and we expect that it's okay to just go and do it.
Very hunting mentality.
Yeah, whether instead you still have to communicate with your wife. If you go to work late, or if you got to do stuff on your phone or your laptop at nighttime, you, I believe, always should communicate, going, hey, I'm just going to do this. This is the reason why I'm doing this. And
that doesn't mean always your time is valuable. That this means that I understand that I'm giving up something valuable.
And it's not a justification. You don't have to justify yourself to your partner. That's not the reason why you have to do this. You have to do this to acknowledge your partner that they are important to you. Mm. And it's letting them know that, because I don't think we appreciate our partners in business enough. And I feel like we don't give them enough time, and we give everyone else time. And I am 100%, you know, I said this on the last time we did this, like, you know, society gets the best version of me and Liv gets the worst version of me, which is still pretty good. But Liv 100% gets the lesser version of me at times, the tired version. Like, I'm an ambivert, so when, you know, all the stuff I'm extroverted with at home, I'm introverted. So Liv gets the closed off, tired version of me, which sort of sucks at times. So I need to also know, it's like, you know, Liv knows when I'm down and you can read me.
Yeah.
And she knows when to push, and she knows when how to get more from me as well. So I think you need to read your partner as well and communicate that. But if I'm feeling down, I just need to tell Liv, like, I'm feeling down right now, and I just need to sit.
Yeah.
But if you don't tell your partner, you just need to sit for a minute, and you expect them for them to read your mind, that's when they feel like something's wrong and there's a lack of communication. Okay. And then everyone reads into shit.
Okay? I think that's the biggest thing, like what you were just saying there, like, for us, you know, sometimes you don't have to communicate, you know, like sometimes, you know, Trav, and I think, you know, it's very sexist, but I think in the majority it's true, you know, we'll come home and I go into mum mode. And I think we've talked about this before, where I understand I just have to shift. I don't have, you know, the opportunity to say, okay, I'm feeling really tired, so I'm just going to sit on the couch. Like, you know, for 99.9% of the time, you have to go into that next role as a woman. And I think the greatest thing that Travis does very well is 80% of the time he will acknowledge and go, I'm just feeling really tired, can you put the kids to bed? You know, or can you do this? Or he'll thank me for cooking dinner, which obviously he knows for me is just my life. I love doing it. That's my greatest gift, is I love to cook. But, you know, it's even the acknowledgement that he knows I am fucking tired. I'm exhausted, I'm overwhelmed, and then I'll come home and I have to go into another role, which arguably demands even more from you, because at the moment we've got, like, the clingy two-year-old who's just...
Mom.
Constant. Like, I can't go
anywhere. Doesn't get to go to the toilet anywhere.
By herself. I can't go upstairs by herself. I can't do anything. It's just mental at the moment. You know, I have to sit next to him on the couch, Travis. Isn't that like... So it's just a really stressful...
I get told to go away all the time. I wake up in the morning, I'll say I'm upstairs, and Liv's downstairs.
Trav can't even go get him from bed.
He's like, go away. And yeah. I'm not even allowed to walk down the stairs sometimes at the moment, which is... It happened with our other son, Jax, and it is the phase that they want to be the man to their mum.
It does create a bit of a pressure cooker, but yeah. I think that for us, I think, you know, there are nights where Travis doesn't say it and I wouldn't even ask. You can just read that your partner is just, there's nothing left in them. And, you know, you just go and do what you have to do. And I think that's just our role, and that's a role I've chosen to play. And I love that. I chose to be a wife and a mother. But, you know, I think that it's the little times where they'll turn around and thank you for things or acknowledge things, or, you know, I'll come down and Travis will have stacked the dishwasher. You know, and any guy listening to this knows that that's a big deal. It's a huge deal. So I think it's those little things that sometimes you feel like, I just want to sit on the couch, but the 5 minutes it took you to go stack the dishwasher means to her the world, because then even if you're on your laptop, she just feels so much gratitude that you don't feel like your laptop or your work is more valuable or more important than acknowledging that she's also tired and exhausted and probably...
You both only have 24 hours in a day. Yeah, like, your wife doesn't have more hours in the day.
No.
You might believe that she gets, like, more hours, but it's not. And it's not the truth. I think for us also, the next thing I would like to say is, how do you know when to push someone? Like, do we ask this sometimes? It's like, how does Liv push you, motivate you, get the best out of you? You know, how do you, like, because you do. Mm. And, like, I don't know. Like, I think, you know, with entrepreneurs, and I would say that me and Liv are both entrepreneurs, like, you know, but I would say I live on the more of the risk side of the world than Liv does, slightly. Yeah. But in saying that, like, Liv 100% could do our own business without me and be very successful. We just happen to do business together. But in saying that, I normally don't have to motivate Liv. She normally has to motivate me, which is quite interesting because I'm out there trying to motivate everyone else. So in saying that, how do you motivate me?
I think for me, I'm more driven by seeing, there's kind of a, I suppose, a control element to my personality, but I'm, like you, very stubborn, so I don't like to lose. Travis is much better at rationalizing things than I am, but I think I've always understood, I've played in my whole life a very clear role where I am not quite entrepreneurial in that I'm very focused on and fixated on the outcome. So if that's what we said we're going to do, then I will single-handedly, probably without asking anyone for help or admitting I need help, push the ship to that outcome with very little requirement for motivation or external motivation. But in saying that, I'm very team-oriented. So I need to know that the team's on board. And that's where, for me, I think my natural personality is to constantly check in and understand that without, I think it's because we're a couple and because we've always been best friends, that I understand that without Travis, what's the point of reaching the destination? So it's constantly checking in and making sure that we're on the right track for where we want to go. But you have to understand, and this goes for whether they're your partner, your best friend, your, you know, whatever, you have to understand what their personality type is. And Travis, over time, I've learned the best ways to approach Travis. And I think naturally from being friends for a very long time, we had a very good way of communicating that was me just naturally pushing Travis with no romantic relationship or romantic intent. So
that's what she says.
So it was a very easy way for us to just, we always had the same goals and the same outcomes and the same dreams. So it naturally flowed. And I think as a relationship, Travis and I are very good at separating what is our personal life and what is our goals for our business. And our goals for our business, we are relentless. And I simply have a very high stress tolerance. I think much higher than most people. So I just carry a lot. It is very good. I carry a lot of stress, and I want, and I understand that for Travis to operate at his highest level, he needs less stress. So the two of us balance very well, where I quite openly, and I think most people who know us well will make an active effort to shoulder as much of his stress as I can.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm the big picture and Liv is the micro, right? Like, if we're saying it like that, right? Like, you know, the easiest way to go is, you know, people go, you know, we went to do the, you know, Bali retreat last week. You had a couple of things and they couldn't come. But, like, they're like, what time's the flight? I'm like, I don't know. What time are we doing this? I don't know. Like, me and Liv have conversations and Liv 100% has the follow through. With a lot of that sort of stuff, because the micro, I'm just not good at the micro at all.
But I think that just takes this, for me, that's me visibly being
us a team.
So you don't ever have to stress about it because, you know, if we've said that that's what's going to happen,
it will happen.
Well, then, yeah,
I trust you.
I don't have to check in.
I will die.
I will die to make that happen.
Like, I just trust that you're going to do that. But I think, so, like, I feel down. So if I'm going to be tired, I think I tell this to Liv as well, right? Like, I believe that me personally, like, I'm like a racehorse, right? So if you run me too much, I'll die. So you have to, and also, just
become
a sassy. I'll just get sluggish. And at the same time, I'm like a greyhound. If you don't give me something to chase, I'll just stand there.
Maybe it's because I grew up with horses.
Yeah. So like, Liv is very good at giving me a rabbit. And Liv is also very good at understanding when I need my downtime because she knows I can go really hard, but I need to pull back. Otherwise, I can't go hard again. And she's also understands if there's nothing there, like a holiday or something that we're going to do together, that I am not going. There's nothing there for me to chase because, you know, for money for me is not success. Like, you know, my success is already achieved. I have a wife that I love. And I have two boys that I adore. And I think for me, I've detached any type of success as far as monetary reward. Whereas my success now is helping leaving a legacy and our mission for all their businesses. But with that, I know that if the businesses fall over tomorrow, I still have success because I have her. So my success is not defined by the businesses. My success is defined by my relationships.
Yeah.
And in saying that, that means when we go into the business, I need to be treated like the greyhound and the racehorse. If not, then I will not perform at my best. And Liv, I would say you give me that ability to act like that racehorse and that greyhound. You set rewards for me and like I'm a dog. Here's your smackos. You set rewards for me. Also, you...
tell you when you're not doing enough.
Yeah, tell me when I'm not doing enough and I can do more. And also, you tell me when I just like go get a fucking massage. Like, you tell me when I need to like pull back because you can see me wavering because you know I'll just keep flogging myself as well. So I think Liv gauges me very well and my emotional state because she knows as a man and when we're going...
sensitive.
No. As a man, all I want to do is provide security to what I see as my success, which is my family. So I will work as hard as I possibly can to provide security for my family and I work myself to death to do that because that is... success to me is giving you the security that I believe as a man I want to provide you. That doesn't mean females can't provide security. For me, that's what I want to do for you.
It's an incredibly powerful, I think, delineation. And I think everyone, for the most part, this applies to, I believe, I've never met a man that doesn't apply to. So feel free to pipe up if you're one of them that doesn't. But I think men are... never perform at their peak if they feel like they're failing. So I think, you know, I openly joke with people all the time that sometimes my role is to just follow Travis around with pom-poms. And
you're the best cheerleader.
You are, like, you're doing a great job. You're doing an amazing job. And it doesn't really matter what the reality is, you know. And I think if you look back to, you know, when you're a kid and the only person you can hear is like your parents, like, and typically your mum, if you had my mum, screaming so loudly. And, you know, like they say, like when you're swimming and you can hear the team, you're like the home court advantage, like your team, like everyone is just cheering you on. You find that extra oomph, you know? And I think that as a wife and as a partner and as business partner, that's one of the most powerful tools you have in your toolbox, is just being the best cheerleader of all time, because they will find that extra oomph. And that's an irreplaceable role, really, in order to for them to believe that they can rely on you to make sure that all these amazing things that they have in their vision to happen, but then when they falter, that you never do, and that you constantly see them for the potential that you probably fell in love with them for in the beginning. And I think so many people get jaded by the reality of life and relationships and kids and getting up every day and kids that don't sleep. Like, it all seems really romantic at the beginning. And then the reality of how, you know, tired and exhausted you can actually be just from your home life, let alone work pressure, that I think the most important thing you can ever do for your partner is to give them a glimpse of, you know, the girl however many years ago that looked at them with all this potential and all this passion and all this love. And really, sometimes, even if you're faking it, make them believe it. Like, luckily for me, I genuinely feel it. So, but, you know, I genuinely believe Travis can achieve everything. And I think that
reality comes through. You also give me the reality when I'm not.
Oh, when you're being a dick, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think...
When you're not pulling your weight.
I'm always pulling my weight. I think when I'm not... Not the best version of me.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So I think working. I think, like, for us, like, but then the problem is with men listening to this, you need to respect your partner to allow them to do that. And when they say that, you can't bite their head off, because a feedback loop is crucial to success. So your wife is your sounding board and your ultimate feedback loop. So you have to respect her enough, okay, to understand that her feedback is the most important feedback in the world, and it is the one that you listen to. Now, a lot of other partners do reach out to me and say, you know, I feel like they are only giving me stuff to do that they don't want to do. Okay, like, so essentially, say a man has a business and then get into a relationship, and then the female gets pulled into the business, and then the female's like, oh, he's just giving me shit that he doesn't want to do. I would say this, he's giving you the stuff that he might feel anxiety doing. Mm-hmm. He's giving you the stuff that he doesn't feel confident doing. And you might say it's the stuff that he doesn't want to do. It's like 100% the stuff that he doesn't want to do, because that doesn't, yeah, but like, it's allowing your partner to be in flow. Mm-hmm. I think, so whether you are the supporting role in the business or the, you know, main act of the business, every role is just as important as the other. Mm. So it doesn't matter whether you're doing the books or whether you are doing the videos or whether you are doing the customer experience. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Every role is just as important as the other one. And for people to be in flow, okay, so say me personally, I don't do the books. Liv doesn't do the books either. But like, we don't do that. That's not our roles. But if I had to do the books, that would shift me into anxiety, okay? Because I'd be like, oh my gosh. Luckily, we have people to do that now. And it would shift me into anxiety. And when you go out of flow into anxiety, it pushes me into procrastination. And then just the books wouldn't get done. So
you would also need the bank login.
Yeah, I don't have bank logins. I haven't looked at my bank account for a good couple of years. It's just not my thing. And I'm very good at my thing. I don't even know what my thing is, but like, I'm very good at it.
It's the TJ show.
Yeah, exactly. I motivate and I talk to people. And I do that across 100 staff. I do that across, you know, different forms of mediums as far as content creation. Mm. And, I'm the lucky one. But I'm the lucky one because I get to educate myself more. Like, I need to read because I need to perform, which is lucky. Because that is my role. And Liv sometimes resents me for that role, because my role is more of a fun role than Liv's role. But it's the role and the cards I've been dealt.
Oh, and I think over time, we've definitely worked out that balance. And I think for us, the goals are always to shift, you know, the roles that we play at certain times. And I think over the years, we've always understood that there's, you know, a reason and a season for things. So you always have to have a plan out. You know, there always has to be an exit plan, not just, you know, your grand exit plan, but your exit plan from, is this the way you want to live your life every day? And, you know, I was having this conversation with the CFO for RBT the other day, and, you know, it was, how does it look like, you know? And I think a lot of people are really surprised that Travis and I have a very clear picture of how everything looks, and we're quite realistic. You know, I don't pretend that we love everything that we do, or particularly me, that I love everything that I do every day.
But I do it.
But we do it, and we show up, and we will do it. You know, people will rely on us, and they know that it will get done, and that's the certainty and the significance and the connection that the people need from us at this particular time. And then for us, we know that the next reason, the next season, will mean that we play a different role, because we're definitely not playing the role we played 5 years ago or 6 years ago. And, you know, I think we've constantly evolved, and I think that's what people love.
I do think that you have a goal in the next, you know, 3 years, 5 years of where you want your business to be.
Mm.
But I think for us, and we coach this in people, we but do. I don't think we do this. I don't think enough partners do this. Like, what does your ideal day look like?
Yeah.
So not only the husband, but also the wife creates an ideal day. What is your ideal day? And they both do it separately, and they come together. Mm. And it's like, okay, cool. Maybe I'm not doing the task that I've been delegated to right now. Okay, cool. What does your ideal day look like? And for me, if Liv, and like 100%, if Liv says this is what my ideal day looks like, me, I want her to be happy. That's literally why I'm on this earth. My goal in life will to try and get her to her ideal day, even if it means I'm not at my ideal day, because she is more important to me than me.
Yeah.
But that's our relationship.
But I also think that's a mutual one. So, you know,
and Liv would do the same.
Because I'm doing all the things that I, you know, 80% are things that I don't want to do. But we do it because that's right now what has to be done, and what we need to do to move forward to get to the next stage. Because, you know, if you look back, you know, and a lot of people watching this will have seen and known us 6 years, 7 years ago, and what we were doing then with one gym and just a few coaching clients and just starting Facebook marketing is obviously insanely different to what we're doing today and the roles that we play. So, you know, it's a constant evolution, but I think for us, there's a deep respect for where we want to go, and both of us work for each other, not for ourselves.
But I think it's interesting, right? Like Gary Vee will say, find your passion, follow your passion, make your money through your passion. But when you're in a relationship, if you have a passion, and like my ideal, you know, business is fucking Smurfs, like, don't think your partner's ideal business is Smurfs.
No.
But when we're looking at that, like when we're looking in the business, that is your passion, then there is like marketing, sales, customer experience, cash flow. There is system creation. Like there's like, you know, HR. Like there's so many different levels. Now, you might like the business, but then not like every single role in the business. Mm-hmm. And that's when you go like, toughen up, buttercup. Like,
but you be doing cash flow.
You got to do this shit to actually start moving forward. And you're not going to love everything, but athletes just get the job done. Amateurs wait for motivation. I think me, like Liv and myself, I'll use correct grammar when I'm trying to be around Liv because she always corrects me. We both try and get the athlete's mindset. And we just show up. And that doesn't mean if you're tired, you get to go have a fucking nap. We just show up and we show up for each other. And I think that's what you have to understand. And sometimes I don't want to do it. I'm like, Liv's showing up, so I better fucking show up. Trust me. Like, she motivates me because I'm like, Liv's getting it done, so I can not complain. And that is like,
well, that's
like, she inspires me. And I think that's pretty crucial. That's pretty amazing for me. Like, I have a partner that forces me to show up, not because of any other reason, but she's showing up every single day. And if I said, oh, I don't want to do it today, like I have no reason to say that because she gets to show up. I think for me, like, that's a big thing.
Well, it's funny, like, back to the horse analogy, because, you know, most racehorses have a paddock buddy and they're ponies.
I was going to thought you said, like, I'm your jockey and I get to ride you. but you're my paddock buddy.
But I'm your paddock buddy.
Okay, no worries.
No, but they do. Like, they have like a pony or like a Clydesdale or something that's much calmer and much more relaxed. And it's like a security blanket. And I think everybody...
You are 100% my security
blanket. I am 100% your security blanket. But they do. Like, they need that solid, reliable, you know, if they had another flighty, crazy racehorse in there, it all sorts
should
of shit
be crazy.
Would be down. Shit would be going down. So it's like, you know, sometimes racehorses just need to be given a bit of a downtime. And I think that's, it's understanding the roles. And I, you know, I really believe we do deal so many with so many couples because it is quite a rare thing to be able to manage the highs and lows and the long journey that we've been on and all that we've achieved and all that we still have to achieve. And to still be so madly in love and so happy and, you know, going to date night and having kids. And
Date night tonight.
And, you know, but we have kids and we have friends and, you know, we have goals and all our friends are crazy people with goals and, you know, are so much fun. And I think that sometimes it you can get caught up in the picture of what people think it should be like. And I think ultimately in a relationship, you just have to, if it feels right and you feel like you bring out the best in each other, then
don't fall down the comparison trap.
Yeah, like it's so dangerous because the grass is always greener and social media.
Don't
now
try
is,
and keep up with the Joneses. It's not gonna happen.
You can't do it.
We'll
kill you. We'll kill you on the treadmill.
But like in saying that, yeah, comparison trap will hurt you, and that's social media. Mm. That does, like, you know, me and Liv aren't sitting next on the beach, me taking photos of her ass. Like we've got shit to do, and that's not saying those people don't have shit to do. But for us and our life that's and our businesses priority. Right now with 100+ employees and, you know, like...
Multiple four businesses.
Yeah, we just don't have the time to do that. And we'll earn the work-life balance and all that sort of stuff over the next couple of years as we continue to get to where we want to get to. But we got some big fucking goals.
We do.
And I think we 100% support each other so much.
Yeah.
And I think I love doing things like this because I never knew that a horse had a paddock buddy. And I learn stuff every single...
He knows. I have random pieces of information in my brain.
I learn stuff every single time I talk to my wife that I don't even know.
I used to read all sorts of books before I met you. I just
killed your creativity. but I think it's interesting.
No, I don't. I think there's lots of things. I actually put on my Instagram story the other day, like, you know, Travis definitely 100%, I say this very openly, I did not read, I remember one of the first books that was ever given to me that was on work, you know, and negotiation and things like that was Getting to Yes. And at the time I was like, what do I need a negotiation book for? Like, I don't understand this. Like, you just know it.
She didn't know she was marrying me.
I didn't know. I really should have read that book better. But it, for me, it's always learning. So I never really read so many fluffy books. You know, obviously university books were dry as hell. But when I did read, it was history books and it was, you know, stories that had an element of truth and education to them. Because, you know, obviously one of the greatest ways of learning is how everyone else screwed things up. And my dad is like a huge history buff. And, you know, up until about, I think I was like, you know, 12 or so, I wanted to be a historian and to dig up the Titanic. But ultimately, you know, one of my favorite books is The Source. And, you know, James Michener wrote it, fantastic author. And it's all about, you know, the origins of religion. And ultimately, one of the most powerful ways to influence people is a movement. And religion is just a movement. It's just under the guise of, you know, certain elements of control and things. But, you know, when you look at these things, you learn so much just from reading. And I think Travis and I have always had a thirst for learning and kitchen appliances. Mm. So
both
joined in those two things. So we've always had different approaches. And I think that is so much what also has worked for us and how we approach different things is our different approach to ways. Like I tend to come from things less on, you know, this is the different structure and more from a more organic, I think.
I think it comes back to what we said at the start. It's like you, if you, like you say, I created the business and you came into the business, that doesn't mean that I know better than you.
No.
You just have a different perspective on that. And I need to have the humility to actually listen to you because then I can learn something. And I think so many people, especially men...
I think most people don't even know when I came into the business.
At the start. At the start, right? Like, you know, but I'm not saying us in you know, about us as an example. More as like
females
and
males. It's very hard for
males.
People coming into a business that's like, established.
Like, especially in the fitness industry, a lot of the time, like a man is like, I'm going to be a person trying to open a gym. And then a female counterpart comes into that relationship. That is... stereotyping. Well, we actually have a marketing agency, so our life is stereotyping. But with that, then the female, the male shuts off and doesn't listen to the female, and that is ego getting in the way, when the female one will probably give you 17 ways on how to market better, how to give customer experience better, how to lead your staff better, how to look after everything better. So you have to have the humility then to have the conversations, to ask the question, how can I be better?
And then take all those ideas and make them your own.
Yeah, like a lot of the times it's like me and Liv will have conversations and I'll be like, hey, I've got this idea. And Liv's like, I said that to you. I was like, I don't know if you did or I did. It was a conversation and we both happened to have the idea. I just happened to be sharing the idea now. But yeah, I think that's it us in hard. A relationship. It is. Right? But if there is any questions, we will do this again.
Yes.
We will try and do it as much as we possibly can. This is the Travis Jones Show.
Always will be.
With Olivia Jones. And I'm always fortunate enough to have my wife next to me every single moment of the day. Mm-hmm. And guys, you know, treat them as your queen and, you know, try and always provide security. And don't try and put your success as your business growth. But your success is your relationship with your family, and your success is the relationship with your wife.
But just remember, on chess, who protects the king?
The queen. So, bitches, look after your king. All right, guys. Catch you later. Talk to you on the next episode.